Well, good morning, church. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, as we open up your word today, we pray that it would speak as only it can. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would move in our midst today, that you would speak to us, that you would convict us, that you would give us the comfort that only you can bring, that you would draw us closer and closer to our Heavenly Father. God, thank you for how you're working in this place today. Pray that it wouldn't just be my words today, but that you would speak. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Church, we've been in a series walking through the Lord's Prayer. And it's been an amazing thing we've been doing this summer. And going into fall a little bit now. It's been amazing because ultimately we believe that prayer matters. We believe how we pray matters, and we believe ultimately that how Jesus taught us to pray matters. And so we've been walking line by line through this thing called the Lord's Prayer, and I have really thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know a couple of you have as well. And I just want to read it one more time for us. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We've been talking about how this whole prayer ultimately points us to God's design for prayer. One of the keys that we find as soon as we start looking at this prayer is that it skips a lot of the things that we often think are important in prayer. Instead, focuses on what God thinks is important. Begins with position, putting God in his rightful place as our Heavenly Father. Then we move to praise, praising him, hallowed be your name. And then getting into priorities. God, would your will be done? Would your kingdom come? Would it be here on earth as it is in heaven? And then finally moving into provision. Asking God for enough. God, would you give us our daily bread? And then we continue from petition into penance. God, would you forgive us for what we've done wrong? And then Pastor Bobby talked last week about this idea of forgive us as we forgive others. This command of forgiveness that is so explicit in the Bible and explicit in the Christian life. We're called to forgive, and whenever we're wrong, we have the choice, as he said, to either treat them as they treated us or treat them as Jesus treated us. And today, we move into protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Have any of you ever had a moment where something happened, maybe in the moment you realized, or maybe it was years down the road, and you look back at a situation or a silly accident and you go, man, I could have died. Anybody ever been there? Yes? I love that there's a mixture of women and men. That makes me feel very, very nicely. But, you know, I've had some of those moments. I look back and I go, wow. You know, for me, one that is always kind of interesting is driving. Because with driving, so often I get into like this lull, like kind of this false sense of security where, you know, I just drive. I don't know if you ever have that where you just kind of like you show up somewhere and you kind of go on autopilot. It's just this thing that you do every single day. You just drive a vehicle, and then something happens, and you're reminded of how dangerous driving can be. Maybe you drive past an accident, or maybe, like me a couple winters ago, you have one of those little moments where, you know, you're on the road looking at the scenery, and then all of a sudden you're in the scenery looking at the road. Like, in those moments, I look back, and I'm reminded, like, wow, I could have died. This thing called driving is actually dangerous. You're taking a chunk of metal and going 60 to 80, maybe even close to 90 for some of you, miles an hour down the road. And it can be extremely dangerous. There's danger everywhere. You're driving down the road. I mean, you've got this little tiny imaginary line between you and another car. And if they fall asleep or jerk the wheel or something happens, you could die. There's danger all around you in this thing that we do every single day. And I bring that up because I think in the same way, spiritually, we can often fall into this sort of rhythm of life where we're sort of unaware of the fact that there's dangers all around us. The reality is that as I try to follow Jesus and seek to live out His will for my life, every single day, I have dangers around me. There are temptations all around me. The fact is, God has a plan for your life. That's truth. But so does the devil. And every single moment of every single day, there's a God who's drawing me to Him and carving me into the image of His Son Jesus, making me His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that He has prepared in advance for me to do. And there's also a devil that wants to do the opposite of that. And so, each and every day I awaken to this battle, this danger that is all around me. The reality is the goal of my Christian life is to put on my new self. But there's this thing called temptation, this person called the devil. Which brings us to our final line of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so today we're going to break apart this line and really ask the question, when we pray this, what are we really praying for? What are we really asking of God? When we come to God in these moments of praying the Lord's Prayer and asking for Him to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, what are we really asking of God and what are we really doing? And the first thing we're doing is we're recognizing our enemy. We're sizing up our enemy. Because as I said before, we all have an enemy. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have an enemy named the devil. And sometimes when we pray this part of the prayer, I don't know if you've ever felt like this line was kind of weird. Especially when we translate it into English. Lead us not into temptation. It almost gives this implication that like God could lead us into temptation. Like, have you ever thought about it? I mean, like, you think about it. God, would you please, like, as if we're kind of just saying, God, like, I know it's a real possibility. You could just throw me in the middle of temptation. Could you not do that today? Like, somehow we're just, like, driving on the narrow path, and God's got the wheel, and all of a sudden He's just going to go, yeet, and just drive in the ditch. It's a weird thought. Like, imagine someone coming to you and just going, you know, I just really was being led by the Spirit. And really just felt led to just go drive into the parking lot of the strip club. Like, I don't think that was God. You know, people come, and there are people that sometimes will say this, well, I think God was putting me in this situation. God doesn't lead us into temptation. So I want to look at James chapter 1 really quick. It says, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The fact is that sin is a natural part of life. Sin is not something that is created by God. Not something that God gives to us. God doesn't tempt us to sin. We live in a sinful and fallen world where temptation comes natural. Now, remind us, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's the giving into temptation that is in fact sin. But temptation is a natural part of life. I love the way one of my favorite pastors, old Scottish pastor named Alistair Begg, says it. He says, the only time we'll be done with temptation is when we're dead. So if you're keen on being done with temptation, be very careful how you pray. The reality is we are born into a sinful nature. We have imputed righteousness given to us by God, and we have imputed sinfulness given to us in our flesh by Adam. We are born with sin all around us. Man, I think the best way to see this in the world is if you have kids. Man, because it's like, boy, when they're just little babies, you're like, oh, just little precious baby, so perfect and amazing. And then they can learn how to talk and walk and disobey. It's amazing. You know, we had a moment this week. My son, in a 5-minute period, he managed, right before school, trying to get him out the door, he managed to, like, directly disobey one of our house rules and then turn around and lie to me about whether or not he was wearing underwear for some reason. And then he turns around because he realized he was going to get some consequences. He says he's sorry, very obviously manipulatively, because the moment I told him that's great, but that's not going to change anything, he freaks out, throws a temper tantrum, tells me that I'm mean, and I'm no longer invited to his birthday party. His birthday's in May. He's really a planner. But the whole thing of that is, like, I mean, there's probably some of that he learned from me. But a lot of that I found, my kids have come by naturally. I never sat down with them and said, hey, son, listen, we're going to talk about sinning today, okay? All right, so here's what manipulation is. Here's how you manipulate people, and here's how to lie, and here's how to disobey. And hey, just so you know, when we tell you to do something, if you wait for us to leave the room and then do it, sometimes you won't get caught. Like, we never had that lesson with our kids. It comes naturally. Fact is, we are born into a sinful nature. We're born into a sinful world. The fact is, temptation is a natural part of life. So then when we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, what does it really mean? There's an old church father from around 250 AD who puts it like this. He says, to lead us not into temptation means to ask, Lord, do not allow us to be led by the one who tempts. Lord, do not allow us to be led by the one who tempts. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The reality is this: we have an enemy. The evil one, as Matthew 6 calls him. Who is the evil one? Well, he's the reason that we can master technology, but we can't seem to master the same human sins and shortcomings that we've had since the beginning of the world. The devil. The reality is, we have an enemy who's seeking to undo everything that God is doing in your life, who's constantly trying to draw you back to him as God draws you to himself. And the reality is, he's trying to turn everyday situations into temptation. One of the things that's clear in the Bible is that there are moments of testing that God will allow people to go through. And what Satan loves to do is take testing and turn it into temptation. For instance, if you look at Abraham and Sarah, if you know that story in the Bible, there's a moment God says, here's the promise for you. The promise is that I will make you a father of many nations. I will bless the whole world through your offspring. The problem is there was no offspring. And eventually Abraham gets to this point where he goes, God might have made a mistake. Let me take matters into my own hands, if you know the story. And he has a child with his wife's maidservant, Hagar. See, the reality is, there's moments of testing, there's moments of trial that we go through as believers, and what Satan loves to do is turn that into an opportunity for you to step outside of God's will. He loves to take our testing and turn it into temptation. You know, in John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples before he goes to the cross. I find it very interesting. He prays, Lord, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. What is Jesus talking about here? One, he doesn't pray, Lord, would you just make sure nothing bad happens to them? Would you just take them home? He says, no, I need them in the world. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. I'm praying that you protect them from the evil one. What exactly kind of protection is he talking about? Because if we're honest, if we really think about it, if we're talking about physical protection, that didn't work out well. All the disciples got martyred, except one. What he's really talking about here is a spiritual protection. Lord, would you lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from the evil one? Even when they're battered, even when things go wrong, would you continue to help them hear your gentle, still voice calling them back to you? Help them not to stray away from you, their good, good shepherd and their good, good father. The reality is when we pray, Lord, would you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. First and foremost, we're recognizing that we have an enemy, that there is a world full of temptation. We're sizing up our enemy. And then secondly, we're surrendering our steps. 1 Corinthians 10 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Two pictures we see in Jesus' prayer and Paul's words. One, the idea of leading us around temptation, away from temptation, and the other, leading us through temptation. The reality is when we are tempted, God it loves to give us a way out. He promises in his word he will give us a way out. We won't be tempted beyond what we can bear. We just keep trusting him. But the key word of this verse here, when we read, lead us not into temptation, there's a very key word here. It's the word leading. I don't know if you ever had a dog that liked to take you for a walk. You ever have one of those dogs? You know, it's like, man, they just start going and go. I had a dog that literally, when you walk with him on a leash, he would go the whole entire time making this sound. Because he was choking and he was so stubborn, he would just keep going against the leash, even though it was cutting off his oxygen supply. And sometimes that's me with God. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm going to go this way. We say, Lord, lead us. But, I want to try this over here or go over here. Lead us not into temptation, first of all, implies that he's actually leading us. He's actually ordaining our steps. We're asking God to please take control. Which goes back to the whole core and foundation of the prayer is that it's God's kingdom, it's God's will, it's God leading, not me. If I'm asking God, would you lead me not into temptation? What I'm first and foremost saying is, God, would you lead me? Would you tell me where to go? Would you tell me what to do? Would you tell me who to talk to today? Would you tell me where not to go? And ultimately, I'm humbly submitting to him. See, 1 Peter 5. Peter is writing here, and he tells his audience here, he says, first of all, clothe yourselves with humility. Then he reminds them that, listen, God actually opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There's three very powerful verses in that passage right there. Three very popular verses in that passage right there. And frankly, three verses that I've often heard split up into three different sermons. Right? You begin with, humble yourself under God's mighty hand and he will lift you up. That's a great sermon about provision. And then we go to the next verse. Lord, cast your cares, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That's a whole separate message. And then we get to your enemy, the devil. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Resist him. That's a great men's conference message. We love stuff like that. Yeah, let's resist him. We tie in, the verse where Jesus says, listen, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And we always bring that up. Yeah, gates are not offensive weapons. We're going to storm the gates of hell. Yeah. We love that kind of stuff. But I would argue that we better understand these three verses when we put them all together. Because how it starts is, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And it's when I've humbled myself under God's mighty hand that he lifts me up. And it's then at that point that I'm able to cast my anxieties and cares on him because he cares for me. Because I find it really hard to cast my anxieties on someone who I haven't fully trusted and submitted to. Because if I haven't fully trusted and submitted to God, I can't really cast my cares on him because really about a portion of me is still going, nah, I think I got this. God, if you want to be my backup plan, great, but I'll try to figure it out myself. And then we come to resisting the devil. See, it's in our submission to God that we're able to resist the devil. James 4:7 says something very similar. Submit yourselves into God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission fuels our resistance. If you're wondering how to fight temptation in your life, it starts with submission, submitting to God. That's ultimately what we're praying when we say, Lord, would you lead us not into temptation? We're saying, God, we submit. We want to do it by your power and your power alone. We want to do it by your might and your might alone. Lord, would you lead us not into temptation? Would you deliver us from the evil one by your power, by your might? By you doing what only you can do. I find in my life that I am the most tempted when I'm the least submitted to God. I find I'm the most tempted by things in those moments where I'm starting to feel like, yeah, I kind of got this. I'm doing pretty good. And then suddenly, boom. It's amazing the temptations that hit in those moments. So when I'm praying, Lord, would you lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, I'm sizing up my enemy. I'm recognizing the enemy of temptation and the devil that is before me. I'm submitting my steps to God. Lord, would you lead me? And finally, I'm seeking to stay on his path. Proverbs 4 says, give careful thought to the path for your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. Give careful thought to where you're walking, where you're stepping, because your steps matter. How you walk through life matters. Your habits matter. Where you go with your feet matters. This is why we're so excited about this class, because we want to have this opportunity for people to really examine, how am I walking every day with Jesus? Am I actually walking with him in a place where I can hear his voice? If I'm asking him, lead me not into temptation, am I actually following his leading each and every day? Am I seeking to hear his voice each and every day? Is his word speaking to me each and every day? Is the Holy Spirit leading me each and every day? Are my habits drawing me closer to who God's called me to be, or drawing me further away? I love how Ralph Waldo Emerson puts it. He says, if you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an act, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. If you sow a character, you reap a destiny. The thoughts in our life, the habits in our life, they grow and they grow and they grow into who we become, the character that we become. So how we walk matters. And ultimately, where we walk matters. See, as we talk about temptation, the reality is that temptation is inevitable in life. But not all temptation is inevitable. Temptation is an inevitable part of life, but not all temptation is inevitable, which is why we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Because probably my favorite example of this is there's a Navy SEAL is on some podcasts, and he was talking one time about about hand-to-hand combat. And he was asked, listen, if you were in a hand-to-hand combat situation today, you know, what's kind of your go-to move, your go-to thing that you run to? And he said, oh, my number one thing if I get into a physical altercation, my number one thing is my feet, because I'm running if at all possible. Because he says, listen, I don't need to be in a fight. I've done all the things. If I can avoid the fight, I'm going to run, because there's no telling what's going to happen, right? There could be, guy could have a gun. The guy could have friends. The guy could have a knife. There's all these things. So he says, listen, I'm running if I can. One of the greatest ways to avoid temptation or to beat temptation is to avoid temptation. And it's interesting. We pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And as we start to follow the Spirit's leading, there's little things that will start to come up where the Holy Spirit will convict us and give us wisdom and discernment. See, there's things that are explicitly sin in life, but then there's things that are just foolish and wise. And there's discernment that the Holy Spirit will give us and wisdom that the Holy Spirit will give us. And we'll come, we'll go, man, I've just been really struggling with looking at things I shouldn't be on the computer. And the Holy Spirit, or maybe a godly friend, will come along and go, then stop being alone on your computer. We go, man, I'm just struggling with this group of friends. We get together and like we always start gossiping and I start tearing people down. And the Holy Spirit goes, then stop hanging out with those friends. Lead you not into temptation. Or maybe you're like me. Right, this one is definitely me. I've had moments where I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm really struggling right now. I'm having a conversation with my spouse that's kind of an argument, and we keep talking back and forth, and like I feel these things that are gonna come out that are gonna be hurtful, and I'm trying to hold them back. Lord, would you help me? And then eventually the Holy Spirit gives me this little reminder I'm still working on actually applying in my life. Shut up! Like, you won't say the things if you just stop talking. But so often what we try to do is we try to beat temptation by just like, yeah, I'm gonna muscle through it. Lord, give me the power. And as we start to listen to the Holy Spirit, the words of Jesus start to come alive. And we say, lead us not into temptation. And the Lord will go, here's a way to go around it. You know, if you've ever been, for those of you that have ever studied military strategy, you know, you look at the great battles in movies and they look fantastic when two armies like run right at each other. But that's a really costly way of doing battle. Most military strategists, they try, like, you know, a great place to be when the enemy's charging at you is not there. To be behind them or on their flank or somewhere else, right? And in the same way, we like this idea. Sometimes with temptation, we go charging in, like we're in the movie 300 or something. But if we start listening to the Holy Spirit, we start to know how to fight better and fight smarter. He starts to actually lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. The reality is, as we fight temptation in our life, the first thing we have to do is, first of all, understand who our enemy is, that we have an enemy. We have to fully submit to God and allow Him to take over everything. That's what we're praying. We say, God, would you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we have to keep staying on the path, keep listening to His Spirit, keep listening to His Word. My hope for you is that as we've gone through this, God has spoken something to you. My ultimate hope is that as we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, that God started to shape you and mold you more into His Son's image, that ultimately your prayer life looks more and more like what His Son Jesus outlined for us. I hope it's gotten more intimate with God. I hope you're coming before Him and really talking to Him as your Heavenly Father. That you're really praising Him in your daily life, that you're actually coming and asking for His will first and then coming with our own will. I hope He's growing up seeds of contentment in you, being content with your daily bread. I pray that forgiveness for yourself and for other people just comes pouring out of you. I pray ultimately that each of us would be led by God's Holy Spirit, that He would lead us, He would guide us through everything that we do. I ask you to bow your heads today as we just come back before God and say, Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Right now, we pray to you. Thank you for how you're working in every life that's here today. God, we give glory and praise to your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come. Lord, we pray that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That it be your will, not ours. Father, we surrender to you. And if anyone in this place today has never fully surrendered to you, I pray today is the day they step across the line and give you everything. God, we pray for our daily bread, for our daily needs, and ask that you just continue to provide for us. But also, God, help us to be content as you give us enough. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. God, convict us of the moments where we, even though we're forgiven by you, we refuse to forgive others. We refuse to show the same love and forgiveness and kindness that you've shown to us. And God, we just pray that you continue to lead us. Lead us not into temptation. Help us to defeat the evil one, the temptations of the enemy. Help us to surrender fully to you and be led by your Spirit each and every day. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, church, as we close out this series, one of the things we love to do is close out with communion. Communion is the moment where we celebrate our risen Savior. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and wine, and he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the bread, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood shed for you." And when we take it, we celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus. We celebrate the new life and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have in our lives. And so we just invite you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, a fully committed believer in Jesus, you are invited and welcome to come and have communion with us. We're going to do that here as we continue to worship. If you're able, please stand.